Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard about this man from many, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings, and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And the Holy Gospel, according to the 21st chapter of John. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to them, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Have you ever been stopped in your tracks? Have you ever been stopped in your tracks? Maybe you were jogging down a path and saw a snake, heard the rattle. Perhaps you were driving down the road and the sunset inspired you to pull over and pause for a moment. Maybe you were walking out of a store and you witnessed a mother and her daughter skipping and singing gleefully. And you were so caught up in the joy that you just had to take a moment. Perhaps you witnessed a moment of great suffering. Or you received some surprising and unexpected news. Good or bad. Have you ever been stopped in your tracks? Paul, or Saul rather, is stopped in his tracks on the road to Damascus. He is overwhelmed with God's presence, the presence of the risen Christ in his midst. Shining on and around him so brightly, he is brought to his knees. He is rerouted. Sure, he still goes into the city, but in a different way. And his route from this point forward is changed as he answers the call of the Lord and is sent. The way Saul sees, or doesn't see, is at once changed. This is a moment of conversion and call, in that Saul is changed, his way of seeing and understanding God, the world, and himself is transformed. The risen Christ has made Saul new. And yet this isn't the only transformation in this story. There's another who is stopped in his tracks by an encounter with Christ, who transforms the way he sees and experiences God, the world, and himself. The transformation of Ananias. You see, he must experience this radical change of heart and thought in order to answer God's call and help and love Saul, an enemy of him and the church. And yet somehow God changes and transforms Ananias to go from calling Saul enemy to calling him brother. The call comes. Transformation takes place both for the outsider to the church, for Saul, and for Ananias, the insider. We, too, are transformed by God's word and by the call and transformation of others. This often calls for a transformation of ourselves. When we welcome new members, as we will do through baptism today, to Spirit in the Hills, we commit to listen and hear God's voice working through them, to be changed by them as they are changed by God and by relationship with us. See, the call and transformation of one requires that we too not remain the same. We are opened up to the presence of God in new ways. And we need Paul and Ananias for the church, for the mission and ministry of God then and there and here and now. And so, summer, this part's for you, but everybody else gets to listen too. Summer, through water and the Holy Spirit, you are baptized today. In just a few moments. A transformation brought on by the loving and overwhelming grace and love of God that will shape how you see God, the world, and yourself. People gathered here today at Spirit in the Hills, you will be transformed and changed by the Word of God and the way it works in you and in those around you. Summer, you will enter into the promises of God and of a life of faith. And church, you will promise to continue in your life of faith and to support Summer in hers. Enter into these promises, knowing the grace and love of God that are already yours in Christ. And one other thing, Summer. This water, this sealing of the Holy Spirit, the cross with which you will be marked, they are a reminder of the abundance of God. The ways that God fills you with what you need for the journey and the living out of abundant life and the sharing of radical love. The same abundance that brings these disciples many fish and overly full net. The same abundance that though they catch that many fish, Jesus already has more fish waiting for them, ready to give, and fills them up. This water, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, the cross with which you are marked, is a reminder of who and whose you are. Just as Peter on the beach, wrapped up in guilt and grief and depression, seems to have forgotten who and whose he is, and needs this reminder. In fact, that's what Peter denies in John's gospel account. It's not that he knows Jesus, but Peter denies that he's one of them. Surely you're from Galilee. Your accent betrays you. You are one of the followers of the way, one of the followers of Jesus, whom you call the Christ. Peter says, no, I'm not with them. Peter denies who and whose he is. Peter has forgotten who and whose he is. And in his guilt and sorrow and shame, he has convinced himself he can no longer be a beloved child of God, sent forth to do vital work of continuing the ministry of the Good Shepherd. Instead, he will fish. Yet Jesus, that Good Shepherd, who comes that all may have life and have it abundantly, comes to Peter, reminds him that he is a beloved bearer of God's own image, a disciple of Jesus, a follower of the way of the kingdom of God, and that Peter has the important work of feeding Christ's sheep. Jesus comes to Peter, sits with him, feeds him, stays as long as it takes for Peter to realize he is worthy. Not because of anything he has done or not done, but in fact, Peter is more than his denial of Jesus, more than his fishing skills. Peter is worthy because Jesus loves him. Peter is worthy because God calls him, and because Peter has received grace upon grace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that same way, God meets us on the lake shore, in whatever state we are in, and feeds us, abides with us for as long as it takes to remember who and whose we are, and sends us. Summer, everyone, may you encounter the grace of God and light of Christ that stop you in your tracks. The Holy Spirit, who fills you with new life, continue to open you up to be changed and transformed by God's word, and to love the ones you once saw as other and enemy, and instead call them brother and sister and friend. In the times when depression tells you that you are unworthy and shame tries to take hold, may you hear the voice of Christ and feel the presence of God surrounding you with love, reminding you who and whose you are. May God fill you with such abundant life and grace that you cannot help but feed everyone you encounter with the grace and love of God. The light and love of Christ shines upon you, in you, through you. Thanks be to God. Amen.